Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I also heard from the Lord. I'm wearing the same things as the choir. It's the first thing they told me as I walked in. I don't know why you are, Pastor and Geraldine. I don't know. No, Pastor, it is supposed to be, I think, white and black, then green. Yes, but it's navy. No, Geraldine, no. For the ladies, it's supposed to be this. Why do people like to cheat? Praise the Lord. Yes, so it's good to hear the children testify. I don't know what's happening to the adults, particularly Albright and Matthew. You guys, let me tell you what happens down there in Sunday school or children's church. We have, at the end of the service, our service, we always have impakazo mupira, you know, arguments and arguments between Albright and Raphael and Manzi. They go head to head, toe to toe, yeah? And it's good to see children put forth their arguments. Sometimes I listen, but because they are boys, they even want to, like, ram into each other, and I just lose them at that point. So that fact that Albright and Matthew testified about, you know, football, it was really interesting. I'm like, parents, what are you doing? Yeah? Praise the Lord. Yes, today is 22nd of December, second last Sunday here in this year. And it's a privilege to stand and close the year. Amen. I don't know if I felt exactly the way I feel today while I was preparing, but it's a privilege to stand and close the year with LAT here. Glory to God. It's been 2 weeks so far, yes. When we've been talking about sacrifices. We started from making vows, and then I came in, talked about offering sacrifices. During the week, I got a barrage of messages, people asking me about sacrifices, yeah? So it encouraged me that we are all listening. Glory to God. If people are tickled, if people are now beginning to ask questions, two things happened. Either you didn't understand, or I was too clear for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Wake up. No, it means that actually people understood, but they have some questions. And one of the things that I have learned in LAT, or I've learned in the Christian faith, is it's okay for you to ask questions. It's okay for you to actually go and do some more research. Okay? It's okay, because sometimes that is how the Holy Spirit begins to move in our lives. And at the risk of like sounding about how, no preacher knows everything about God. We share a certain aspect of God. We share a perspective of God. God is multifaceted. And God wants to reveal himself to us individually. Yes, he will use preachers. He will use your prophets. He will use your teachers and all of that. But it doesn't stop there. So for me, I was really blessed when the questions came through. They were quite easy. I was surprised why they were being asked, because I thought, yeah, things were clear. And so I'm just going to take us through a recap of what I talked about last week. So last week we talked about the life of a sacrifice that will evoke the blessing of God. And I remember Mark asking me for the title, and for the title of the sermon before he posted it. And we had a little bit of back and forth. Do you say a sacrifice that triggers, a sacrifice that evokes, a sacrifice that... all the words that we were choosing felt forceful, yeah? But then, praise the Lord. But then we settled for what you saw on the website if you went there, yeah? And at the end, I told him, use this, because that is what I felt in my heart, the title, yeah? So last week we talked about sacrifices, and we started from Romans 12:1-2, where the Bible tells us, Paul was telling the Christians, us, and still telling us today, to offer our lives as a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So the life of a Christian, Christianity, is a life of sacrifice, okay? Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24-25, that he said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Again, Jesus is telling his disciples, whom he has already chosen, to make a choice to sacrifice. All right? But then, last week I said, from my experience, and that was, I think, the main tenet of that sermon, that God, every so often, will require us, you and I, to make a special sacrifice to him. I remember I told you a word, sadaka. Okuwayo sadaka. Okay? Okweyama. Glory to God. And sometimes, we have seen that through the scriptures. And last week, I also talked about when I was trying to explain to us the fact that God will require a sacrifice that is beyond your usual, like the life of Christianity. We looked at the life of Abraham and the time when God asked him to offer his son, a son that God had given him. Genesis 12, 11 to 12. Yes, we all know the story, children, that God asked Abraham to offer his son Isaac to him. And when we talk about offering his son Isaac, it was not offering him in an abstract manner. It was actually cutting him up, burning him to ashes, and that smoke was going to please the Lord. But we all know the end of the story, all right? Then we also talked about Hannah. How Hannah was so desperate in 1 Samuel 1 to 11. Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 11. Hannah, out of her desperation, she told God, God, I don't have children. And if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. So the question that was asked was, do we offer sacrifices when God asks for them, or can we come up with our own sacrifice? And my answer to one of the people who came into my inbox was, it can be both. You can institute a sacrifice to God, but also God can ask you for a sacrifice. Glory to God. Glory to God. Is that clear? That you can institute a sacrifice to God, but he can also ask you to sacrifice. And he can even ask you to sacrifice something over a promise he has already given you. Glory to God. I just need to make that clear. Why? In my understanding, the redemption plan began with God. The redemption plan of mankind began with God. But when God came down and sent Jesus Christ in form of man, God came down in form of man. That was Jesus Christ. He assumed mortality. It came to a point where the Bible tells us that Jesus offered up his life. God required him to make the choice. In the Garden of Eden, of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ made a choice over a plan that God had instituted. That goes to show us that God never forces us to do things. Hallelujah. God never forces us to do things. Yes, he can begin something, but along the way, he will ask you to partner with him in a special way if you want to reach a certain place. Glory to God. And we know that from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and he got a name that is above all names. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Every knee bows in that name. Mankind was saved. The relationship between mankind and God was restored. Kwegamba things. Jesus received much more. I remembered what Pastor was saying as he started out with the sermon on the vows. If you want to receive much more, show God our funirawa. After Jesus Christ had fulfilled the will of the Father, as in showing, fulfilling the will of the Father by giving a sacrifice that was commensurate to what he wanted to get. The Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, He despised the shame and the cross and all those things. So there is something that Jesus was looking at. But he knew to get that thing, he has to actually sacrifice. So we see that Jesus Christ, after he had fulfilled the will of the Father, he gets much more exceedingly, abundantly above anything he had even ever imagined. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then another thing that came to me during the week was, and I also mentioned it last week, that many times when we talk about sacrifices, sadaka, we talk about it in the negative aspect, in the kingdom of darkness. But we never ever get to think, we as Christians, very few sit down and think that God can actually require you to give a sacrifice. Some people don't think about it that way. The only sacrifice that many Pentecostal people know is the sacrifice of what? Praise and thanksgiving. And that praise and thanksgiving is limited to song. Okay? They don't want to part with their money. They don't want to part with time. They don't want to part with something that will cost you more than the words of your lips. Those ones are like, for me, God, I'm giving you, yeah, thanksgiving. This is a year of thanksgiving. And the thanksgiving they are stopping at is the one of the lips, the words of our lips, which is okay. But I want to let us know that sacrifice actually goes beyond the word of our lips. Why? Because the Bible says that they come to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So God can even reject that sacrifice of worship and praise and what. And that is why in LAT, it is so, we have made praise and worship such an integral part of our relationship with God that it is sometimes the main thing. That it even goes beyond that sermon. Glory to God. According to the way I know people prepare. By the way, let us clap for them for the work they have done today. That was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. In my heart, I'm giving you standing ovations. Yeah? That was wonderful. Yeah? So, but I know what they actually go through to prepare. They pray, they fast, they meet, they do many things. Why? Because they have understood, as so have all of us, that sacrifice, that worship, praise and worship, goes beyond us coming here on Sunday and singing. Sometimes they even say, tuimbye, ne tebyakozechi, tebyakuteyo. Yeah? Yes, because we desire to give God more than just the song. We want it to be good, it has to be excellent, but also the posture of our hearts. And then we talked about last week the context of sacrifice, so that we don't get things out of context, you know. So the context of sacrifice, last time I talked about the fact that our sacrifices are not meant to manipulate God. Why? Because the topic then was sacrifices that will trigger or evoke the blessing of God in your life. So it seemed like from that title that when you sacrifice to God something, then you are manipulating him to give you. But you see, this thing of sacrifice, if you just get one scripture out of the Bible and you go and look at it alone and you execute, you're going to miss it. Why? Because the Bible... God told the Israelites that he does not require his burnt offerings from them, yeah, but rather a contrite heart, a humble spirit and a contrite heart. That one he will not despise. But God was clear by saying that I can despise your offering. And then there are people that I know that they feel that if they give sacrifices to God, then the sacrifice takes the place of obedience. It doesn't work like that. Did you know that there is a religion that believes that it's okay on Monday, you abuse everyone you want, be bad mannered the way you want, but on a certain day, you go to Masgidi. You know that religion now, eh? You go to Masgidi, put like your money, and God will say, okay, all the things you did during the week, me, I have forgiven you. Yeah? That is sometimes the way they look at it. But that is not the kind of sacrifice that God, actually, the Bible talks about. Sacrifice, for your sacrifice to make sense to God, for it to be pleasing to God, you must be walking in obedience. So you can't wake up in the morning, go and disobey God on all the other things he has told you to do. You're not doing what tithing, you're not doing what, you're not doing what. And then you say, Sunday, God, I am coming. And I'm going to give you a big envelope. It doesn't work like that. You can steal government money. And you say, ngenda kute miracle. That close your eye on that one. God, just close your eye. Because sir, you have got, you know. Auntie Pastor Joanne says that we have to talk to you about something that is commensurate. So if I take this money, my sacrifice should be commensurate. So if I take 30 million and I give call you 15, can you close your eye on the fact that I stole the 30? We can't manipulate God like that. Hallelujah. We can't manipulate God like that. Even you human beings, you don't want to be manipulated like that. Someone cannot come and do funny things to you, and then tomorrow they come and they're all sweet around you, taking you for coffee, what? And you think that they should forget all the bad things that you have done to them. It doesn't work like that. Even for us human beings who are sinful. Now how much more for God? Now you can do it to me and I'll never know. Because I'm human, I don't know what is in your heart. I don't know that you've been slandering me, and you'll take me out for coffee, and I'll take that coffee, and I'll not know anything. But should I find out that you slandered me before you took me out for coffee, that is going to be a different story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So sacrifices are not meant to manipulate God. On the contrary, sacrifices honor God, and they go beyond the physical things that we give him. And in this dispensation, every time we talk about sacrifices, in a way they have been limited to money. Yeah? Money is part of the sacrifice. But in my understanding and my experience, sacrifices go beyond money. You can give God your money and he rejects it. Why? Because there is a certain area of your life where it is not surrendered. You have not surrendered that area in your life. Yeah, and that is why now it is important for us to go and ask God, what do you want me to sacrifice to you? You guys will be very shocked. There are people to whom money doesn't cost much. If God said, give me 20 million, he can easily give it. There are people who we know who have built churches in our villages, those small churches. They have been named after them, but God detests them. You realize that to God and that person, money is something so small. Because he already has it. All right? But then if you ask God, what can I give you? God tells you, you wake up every day at 3 a.m. and meet me here. That would be like, oba, it surpasses 20 million shillings. It's easier to give that 20 million than to wake up every day, subject your body, deprive your body to that, you know, of sleep, subject your body to, you know, maybe sitting up from bed. There is a certain lady who talked about consecration. Yes, I think I was at campus when I first heard this, that God told her, she used to wake up at night to pray, and to, in the wee hours of the morning, and God told her, please, don't come back to me in your pajamas. Don't come back to me in your PJs. Like she would come even when she hasn't washed her face with her Bible. She's like, yeah, nah, yeah. And God said, no. You're going to start what? Dressing up. Like the way you dress up when you're going to minister to people. Why do you come to me in your pajamas? So this lady, she was like, I was at campus, I was like, what? So she was like, God told her, please, I don't want that business. So now, even told her actually, that pastor knows that pastor. So even God told her, you need to like show up the way you show up on Sunday morning. So you make up, hair done. So imagine that meant that if she was supposed to wake up at 3, that means you have to wake up like at 2. To do all those, the whole kit and kaboodle for God, yeah? The hair, the makeup, the what? The shoes, you're in your own house. You go to the closet, or your shoe rack, get the shoes, say, go to the high heels. It is what time? It is 3. High heels, then you go to what? To your prayer place. God required of her to do that. Then after some time, God told her, you shall not come to me wearing a dress that is like you see where my dress is at knee level. He said he wants maxi dresses, maxi skirts, maxi dresses. So that lady, for a long time, in every time I would see her on TV, she'll be wearing things up to like ankle level. God told her, I don't want. So you're like, but what is wrong now with what I'm? You tell me. You look at me. What's wrong with this? Nothing. I'm decent. But when it comes to things of God, yeah, and our personal relationships with Him, things can be different. You'll be very shocked at what God will require you to do, at the sacrifice God can ask you to do. And you'll be shocked at how so difficult it will be to you. But God cannot ask you of something that He knows you can't give Him. Glory to God. Amen. So that brings me to the point that God will always ask us for things that cost us. David Solomon, I cannot give God something that will not cost me. You guys, far be it from you to give God what we used to call in the bank, Duke, mukokoteni. Mukokoteni. I used to count money in the bank. The word mukokoteni was used to refer to that money that you would count that is so dirty. Yeah? That is so dirty. It has sand. You know, you get those 1 kez, and you even have to get gloves to actually, like, open. Some that money would be torn. It would be like the coins that are faded a bit. So we used to call it mukokoteni. Yeah, and then, I don't know if it's a Luganda word or not, and then also the same thing happened to people in the bank again. They would say, don't give me love, yachi, ya mukokoteni. Even you human beings, imagine I came to give you money, and I come with my 1,000 shillings, and I give you a dirty 1K. Okay, let's say 50,000. It's dirty, it's folded, it is torn. Like, how would you feel? It is 50K, but how would you feel if I gave you that? You'd be like, but of all them, like, couldn't she have gone and exchanged it? Couldn't she have given? Everyone, when they're presenting a gift, you want to present a gift that is good. Even you'd be like, but how will I take this money? So even to us, far be it from us that we give God, our sacrifices are like that to God. Glory to God. And we talked about the sacrifice of Cain and Abel. In my opinion, Abel's sacrifice, Cain's sacrifice, was mukokoteni to God. He must have gotten the wriggly plant, but whatever he got, whatever he gave God, it just wasn't pleasing to Him. It wasn't pleasing, all right? So far be it from us that the things we sacrifice to God are things that come as an afterthought. I remember a dream which I think either pastor shared, but this, I don't know if it's Dennis or pastor who shared this, that they had, I think it was Dennis, they had a friend who they wanted to help, and they had to look for, and this is between pastor and Dennis, and they had to look for, they had to collect money. And I think either one of them, like the, it's you, eh? Yes, it's pastor. So I think, in the dream, he will clarify if he gets time or if he feels led. But in the dream, there was a part where they were trying to, like, let's first, like, sort ourselves out financially. We'll do all the things that we want. Then the balance is what we shall use to bless this person. And I think God, there was something to that, an angle to that. I don't know if I'm mixing up the dreams. And I think God was like, no, give this thing priority. Before you sort yourself out, first sort this. Give this priority. Do you know what that means? Before you pay fees, before you buy fuel, before you buy even your next, as in God is saying, pay attention to this. Either it was Dennis, I don't know if I'm mixing it up, but there was something to that effect. Why do I remember that? Because then I knew that when it comes to the matters of God, God demands priority, even in our sacrifices. That is why when you get your money, don't set the tithe aside last, because sometimes you don't reach the tithe part. Get the tithe first and set it aside. Get your offering and set it aside. It will help you. You tell God, you know what? Before I even think about all my bills, let me first do this. Okay? Because God wants that kind of importance, that kind of priority. And our sacrifices, for them to be what Pastor said, commensurate. Those are some of the things we have to look at. Did you give God first priority when you are spending your money? Or you spent and you realize, I've started eating on the tithe. Then now you're like, ha, the tithe is getting finished. So you now you start to look for money elsewhere. Mukoko teni. You bring that tithe. Here, Rachel will count it. For us, we shall not know. But between you and God, he'll be like, Brian, wampa de mukoko teni. Yeah? So, then we offer sacrifices to God. Again, I'm still in the context of sacrifice. We offer sacrifices to God out of our love for him. Yeah, God gives Abraham a son. Hallelujah. Abraham is happy with Isaac. Then he tells him, bring him to me, sacrifice him. He was testing his love for him. Because after that, God himself said, really, I see you love me. I have seen, I have tested, I have known now that you love me. So God can actually test you on the love. God can ask you to sacrifice something just to test your love for him. But guess what? Now Abraham gets out of that. A man who didn't even know that he was being tested on the path of love. Now God comes and makes an oath of blessing to him. I will bless you. I'll do this. I'll do, you know, beautiful stuff only. Glory to God. Again, yes, lastly, we talked about the sacrifice that will evoke God's divine intervention, that sometimes you reach a place, a point in your life, and you need God to come through for you. let me tell you the mystery. Probably the only mystery I've talked about this year. Try the root of a sacrifice and come and tell me. You try it and see. If you follow what I have told you, not getting the thing of sacrifices, offering the sacrifice out of context, you try that. Try asking God, God, do you need me to sacrifice anything? Or, bolabanga mukama is delaying. Bring the matter to him and say, God, I would like to offer a sacrifice for this. I would like to offer a sacrifice to break the spirit of delay in my life. I would like to offer a sacrifice to break the spirit of rejection in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is what we talked about last week. And now today, I'm going to talk about the ultimate sacrifice. That is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, thinking about what I was going to preach today, as I was preparing myself, I was like, no. Me, I have to celebrate Christmas. Hallelujah. How many people here are going to celebrate Christmas? Do you know that we celebrate many things? We celebrate people's achievements. They send you a card, you go, you dress nicely, you celebrate your children's achievements, they call you to school, what? You celebrate LAT 2025, we have made how many years? We celebrate God's goodness. Why can't I celebrate the birth of my Savior? Why can't I? So I have been in people's faces, not so much for Christmas, but I'm like you guys, yeah? I've seen you celebrate things that are evil here, and you want us to keep quiet. We listen, but we don't what? We don't judge. I say, now it is my turn. So I went on my social media platform somewhere. I've been hammering people, giving them Jesus Christ. Now you see, some people are trying to, yeah, the spirit of Christmas. So they just attach an instrumental. For me, hey, full blown. Se kukulu Christmas. Hey, oh, muloko zazari dua. I'm telling you. But those things of just attaching an instrumental, we don't even know what, like, they are no what, because you don't want to be seen or heard attaching Jesus Christ to your work or to something. So now, I think the entertainment industry has come up with, and I thank God for instrumentals, but you guys, you cheat us with the words. In a sense, you don't want to declare that you are so much into church. You're there. Happy holidays. What is happy holidays? It's not happy holidays. Amen, Auntie Esther. Yes, what is happy holidays? Who is in charge of this holiday? Jesus Christ. So I'ma tell you. Jesus Christ was born. Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Yes, I am a Christian. Jesus Christ was born, and I'm going to celebrate that. You guys have seen, I've had all sorts of celebrations. But I told God, no, this is not going to. And at the risk of sounding like, if you don't want to remove the message from the season, you try what I'm doing. Just tell people it is Christmas, Jesus Christ was born. It is, why are you putting up your what? Deco. Christmas, Jesus Christ was born. I'm doing this for who? For Jesus Christ. But be careful that you don't enter into some what? Some things there. Recently, I was looking for some trinkets, Christmas trinkets and figurines and gnomes. Eh? Hey, yeah. What's that? hallelujah. Hallelujah, Alison. Where do we start? You know how pastor has asked, what is that? And he's seated there with Madame. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know Alison knows what I'm talking about. These are small, like ornaments, yeah? These are small ornaments. They come in all sorts of forms, small little statues. You see like how they have the Easter egg. So there's the Easter egg. I don't know what that means. I don't believe in it. So, of course, I cannot get it. But there are other things. Yeah, there are other both things that show angels, what. So I was looking for things that have a Christian what? A Christian meaning. Hey, you guys, the things I came across, there were things what? And I realized that these guys, even in, you know, Muzungu, all people who manufacture these things, they are slowly phasing out Jesus. The angels were few. The nativity scene, those are things I was looking for, yeah? Nativity scene things, a sheep, Jesus Christ in a manger. I was looking for those things are fading away. Now you find something, it's a gnome or a figurine, and it's borderline like evil. You could, you're like this, I think this is even a voodoo doll, eh? Like so they are slowly fading away, like they just want to take the whole thing of Jesus out of Christmas. And even us Christians, namwe musirika, but me, I don't celebrate. You're going to find yourselves, nga, you're not celebrating anything about the work you have. Glory to God. So I'm asking you, approach it with wisdom. So I wanted to bring those things. But now you have more Santas, you have like there are things, and they have names. You have more Santas, the reindeer, you have like all sorts of things, and those are things that are right now on the market. Nezeng and Nonya Nativity scene. Ay, yeah. Getting an angel, it was hard. Getting someone that looks like Mary, baby Jesus in a manger, the one that pastor used to see in the, those things, they are becoming rare, I'm telling you. They are very rare. Then I looked for Christmas cards. To get a Christmas card that actually has even a verse, something that is close to the Bible, was like, I think you just have to make a special order. There's nothing like, oh, the king was born today, the savior was born, nothing. Happy holidays, may the holiday bring cheer, what, luzungu, too much luzungu, that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. Okay? So I went on a hunt, I called people, you guys, do you? Why? Because I wanted to really, really celebrate this, the ultimate sacrifice. I needed, when people come into my home, they need to actually see. Then I got someone who had a very good idea of a Christmas. It wasn't a Christmas tree, it was Christmas deco. They got the cross, and they put, you see the things of the Christmas tree, yeah? They decorated a cross, yeah? And they put it in the corner of the house. And I was like, beautiful, amazing. Yeah, that you remind us, when we enter here, you remind us, and this person is Christian, and they were saying that they are not doing a Christmas tree because for them, it doesn't make sense. So they brought a cross. They actually went and fabricated a cross and decorated that cross with beautiful lights. And I think they put a sash to mean the blood of Jesus. Man, I was like, wait. Now, these are the people I want to listen to. Glory to God. I was like, I wish I could just visit this family. And I just be in that environment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So I hope that LAT 2025, December, when I'm the one in charge of your, it won't be here, but when if I'm the one in charge of your deco, you're going to see. You'll have a hard time with me. We shall not have figurines that look like voodoo dolls or things that are used in witchcraft. What we shall have things that are almost similar to what we know from the Bible. Glory to God. Please clap for me. Hallelujah. So the greatest sacrifice, which was Jesus, I remember when we started, again, starting going back to the sermon that Pastor shared about the vows, how he talked about making vows and how he talked about for us to receive exceedingly abundantly above, yeah, to receive much more from God. Think about making a vow. I was like, wow, this is so interesting because from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we received exceedingly, abundantly, above anything that God could ever give us. As in, everything that God could ever give you. For me this morning, I was like, actually, we received it. We received it. Isn't that amazing? It is the greatest sacrifice, bigger, greater than anything that God could ever give me, greater than my life. Hallelujah. So, the sacrifice of Jesus, John 15:13, it's the greatest show of love to mankind. God gave us his son to die for us on the cross, and he knew, and Jesus says that for God... So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the greatest show, the greatest sacrifice that God could give us to show us that he loves us, it was sending his only son. People who are married here, you know that to show you love someone, to show you love your spouse, there has to be sacrifice, my friend. There has to be sacrifice in your marriage. There has to be sacrifice with our children. And I keep telling them this. Maybe I tell them a lot more often than their father. Yeah? I tell them that because I love you, I have to sacrifice this for you. Because I love you, and you have to let the children know so that they don't come with a sense of entitlement. If you don't ever tell your children that this has come out of sacrifice or I have denied myself this for you, the child will grow up not even knowing what it means to go through that pain and to give, you know? So they grow with a sense of entitlement. I've seen Lizzie coming here to testify about the father, about her fees. And I'm like, I just kept on smiling because I know what that means. When a child testifies that they are going to university, they have gotten, you know, I kind of know the journey that they have been on. But it has been a journey of sacrifice. It has been a journey of praying, of believing God, of putting things on the altar. Glory to God. And when she comes here and she stands, let me tell you, when your child understands the sacrifices that you make, that child hopefully would respect you, would hold you in regard. But if they know that daddy just gets money, daddy's going to give me money. There is just that sense of entitlement. So I feel like when we tell our children, when we remind them that some of the things we give them is because we have sacrificed, not to guilt trip them into obeying us, but this is just the way life is. They will grow up with reverence for you and respect for you and not taking things for what? For granted. Hallelujah. So Jesus knew that the greatest show of love would be sacrifice. Amen. God knew that. And even in marriage, I'm looking at some and I'm like, 17 years, I've sacrificed. You see a whole sacrifice walking like this. Sometimes you see people, when they have just gotten married and they are saying their vows. Mm-hmm. And they say, but what for me, the marriage, what? Abana bange, my people will be your people will be my people. I'll go wherever you, After 3 years, go back and check, how is it working out? The bit of my people will be your people. How is it working out? Yeah, the bit of my money is your money. How is that working out, dear? How is that working out for you? My money is your money is my money. I'll give you everything. How is forsaking all others working out? How is I live? Today I live and cleave. How is that working out? You need to ask people after. Those days, when I got married, would ask after 5 years. But I meant to understand that nowadays you have to ask the questions below 5 years, because some people don't get to that, the 5 year threshold, you know? So, I have 22 reasons, 22 things that we got out of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Are we ready? Are we ready? But because of time, I'm going to give you only three. Hallelujah. 22. Me, I condensed them to. I actually even, like, I'm like, when people, when we are worshiping, I don't understand when people say they don't have a worship language with God. They don't have a praise language with God. Because for me, all about those 22 things, I had to cut down the list from 22 to from like, about from 70. Then I had 22. Then I said, but I don't, how many minutes do I have in LAT? We have to cut cake, the children, what, adults sleeping. Ah, you know, I'm like, but, so, I'm like, but how do you start worshiping God and the words bang? Like, how? That is what my husband tells me. That, man, my words just banged. I'm like, how? How? Because for me, there are just so many things I keep thinking about when I think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, even sometimes, now let me be honest with you. When we are praying here on Thursday, and I hold the microphone and I start, when I'm praising or talking to God, muluzungu, yeah, I get to a point where I even start feeling guilty because I'm like, people now are like, she's even boring. It's because for me, things just keep coming. I'm thinking, man, I am redeemed. I am accepted in the beloved. I am restored. Like, where would I be? Like, there are just so many things. The blood of Jesus, I was forgiven. Then I remember some sin which I committed. I'm like, and I'm even here. God, you're accepting what I'm saying. What, the forgiveness of my sin? I'm like, oh my God, the provision. Like, there's just so much more that we got out of this sacrifice. Like, I'm a Christian. This is my identity. So how can words bang? Because when I'm like, big boy, what be tear, big gambo, how can words bang? But I came before the Lord and I didn't have what to say. I may not, may I have the words, they may not be what God wants to hear, but I have where to start from. Glory to God. He may be wanting to hear about what, angels, but for me, I have where to start because the things are just so many. Glory to God. And out of my, what God has done for me, hallelujah, out of that sacrifice, glory to God. So men, you have no reason because we read the same Bible, okay? So the first thing that we got, not in order of priority, is righteousness. The power of sin was broken over us. The sin nature was broken. When I say the sin nature, it's not sins that you're going to stop lying, you're going to stop stealing, we do those things, you're going to stop wakana when you've taken us potholes, you say, well, like all those things are sin, by the way. Yeah? However, when I talk about the power of sin which was broken, I mean the iniquity. That before Jesus Christ came, you were born into, of course you were born into, nsabulanyo. Okay, all right. Then I'm not going to keep shooting off the hip. Let's just keep, yeah? So, yeah. It doesn't mean that you're not going to, like if you've been struggling with if alcoholism, all those things that you know are sinful before God. Yeah, coveting, stealing, lying, all these things are sin. But what was broken, they are sins, but what was broken over you was the power that that thing had, that now you no longer live from a nature of that thing. You will do it, but it doesn't mean that that is what you really are. Glory to God. So the sin nature was broken. And now we are able to, God looks at us as his, we are righteous before God. And for me, this, how does this minister to me? I have seen in many deliverance sessions where even when we had deliverance here in church, children, you remember when we had deliverance in church? And if you remember what, Grace Jo, you remember. So if you remember what Pastor Wandera kept on, you know how he kept on carrying out the deliverance? He would say, in the name of what? Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, I have seen that sometimes when people get born again, when they give their lives to Christ, immediately even some of those habits break. Someone says, I used to love alcohol, but the day I confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as like the, my personal Lord and Savior, I hated alcohol. I hated drugs. Now, there are some others whose deliverance may take a little longer, but it eventually actually happens. So the power of sin was broken over us. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Here, this scripture talks about the sin nature. I want you to notice that he said he made him who knew no sin, not sins. Sin. Now, when you hear when it is referred to as sin, it is usually coming from a nature of something. Embalayechi into. Okay? So, to be sin for us, to be that nature for us, that we may become another nature, which is righteousness. Righteousness, I hope you know it's a nature. Okay? So, he changed us. He changed us. This wasn't just a behavioral modification program that we enter when we get born again. That you enter and your behavior is modified. You become better. You smile more. You don't steal every time. No, it's not about behavior modification. It's actually changing who you are in the spirit. Glory to God. That now in the spirit, the people who have, I think I used to listen to Anna Rontran, she would say that Christians, that the way they would see, the way Christians would look like in the spirit, they would have light on them, like a light coming from up on them, like a brightness in the spirit. But now people who are not born again, there was a darkness around them. And that is how she would be able to identify who is a Christian and who is not a Christian. That is how the Lord would show her that a Christian girl would walk like, imagine Asia would have, like it would be so bright because everyone has light coming from them. And likewise, if you are not, if you're Muli Musabo, there will be total darkness. Yeah? So your nature was changed. My nature was changed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the other thing is, the second thing is eternal life. We got eternal life. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life or everlasting life. You guys, salvation would not have anything meaningful if we didn't have eternal life. That is when I think about this sacrifice, I'm like, what would have happened if Jesus hadn't resurrected? I don't know what stories I'll be telling today. Yeah? Your Savior didn't resurrect. He is dead. I'll be like some people whose God is dead. Mikey's like that song, God's not dead, he is alive. No, 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 no. Yeah? I hear them singing. But that gift of eternal life, that even on this earth, I feel you get hope that you're going to see your people after, people who have known Christ and they have gone on, they have graduated, gone on to be with Jesus. You're going to see them again. There is eternal life, eternal, like knowing, eternal life as in life that doesn't end, but also eternal life in the sense of a continuous, forever relationship with the Father. Glory to God. So I don't know how you can celebrate Christmas without thinking about that. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 to 10. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we should live with him. We should live together with him. In this life, can you imagine? In this life, knowing that you can die, you can sign out anytime. But knowing that even when you sign out of this physical life, you still have a life, and even a much longer life. Like some people say, you'll be more alive in the later years than you have ever been here on earth. You'll be alive longer. Now, that applies to us who are Christians. So, as you celebrate Christmas, think about that, eternal life in the perspective of here on earth, you have a relationship with God, but even after, you will meet him and you'll be in a forever relationship. And so when you think about Jesus, think about forever to go. Hallelujah. Amen. Forever to go. So you can't live like you don't have forever to go. Then the third thing, which is the last, is Isaiah 53. This is the famous chapter about Christmas, about the birth of Jesus Christ and his death, the crucifixion, his death, and all those things. So surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace, your peace, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Yeah? So out of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, we are healed, we are restored. When someone talks about griefs and sorrows, the first thing that comes to my mind is trauma. Mental trauma. The other day, someone was asking me, John, do you know that there is food trauma? I'm like, say what? That there is what they call food trauma. I'm like, what does that mean? That sometimes you get traumatized by the kinds of food we grew up eating, and that when they cook them now, that we just feel, you even get a panic attack. And this person referred to what? This person referred to posho. Remember posho and beans? Adults here, every time you talk about posho and beans, there is just something. My husband calls beans, we call them bihimba, plural, but my husband calls it echihimba, as in the day we are doing beans at home, he just comes, what have you cooked? Beans, thank you for cooking. Because growing up in school, most of us here ate a lot of posho, poorly prepared beans with weevils, or weevils with beans. Now they'll be floating like this. Now our children don't understand that. Yeah? The other day we had a cockroach in the house. You mama. The house was almost turned upside down. Mommy, there is a cockroach. Mommy, there is a cockroach. And I had to tell them, but for me, I've eaten weevils before. Yeah. But mommy, there is a cockroach. You go and get the doom. Then someone goes and gets doom. A whole thing of doom on one cockroach. Psst. I'm like, that's an overkill. Yeah. But you see... You don't have to finish everything. So there are griefs and sorrows that we have gone through. But Jesus Christ, hallelujah, if you have any food trauma, Jesus Christ has taken away all that sorrow, all that grief. Glory to God. You come from a broken family where the father wasn't there and you are traumatized. Man, there is hope because Jesus Christ took that rejection from his father. Hallelujah. So if you feel you're rejected by someone, yes. Glory to God. Jesus Christ took it up. Jesus Christ took a betrayal from friends. Febakogerako one word like this. The whole week, your status is full of motivational things. The Lord, that day, the what. But I don't know those motivational things. I see them on people's status. I mean, I'm a pastor. And I'm like, atona alikuchi. Yeah? So someone becomes wise. The whole week on Monday, there is a court. Tuesday, another court. And then last Friday, the last one will be some scripture about the Lord loves me. What? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear. I'm like, look at now this one here. Yeah? But let me tell you, Jesus Christ took betrayal from a friend. Yeah? He took that betrayal. So what you're going through, Jesus Christ has already, and there is hope. And this is how we get healing. Glory to God. So rejection, abuse, any kind of thing on earth that is causing you sorrow, that is causing you grief. Someone has covered you on the head. But now Jesus Christ had someone in the circle who would dip his hands in the bag and take. Jesus Christ has also been cheated. Yes, you're not the first one. You're not the first one. Jesus Christ has paid taxes to a very evil government. Yeah, Jesus Christ paid. He paid taxes. When they even came call for him. So when you get that thing from URA saying, please, you're about what in debt taxes, say even Jesus Christ got what? Jesus Christ was also fetched. Glory to God. Amen. And he said, give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Now let our account. Give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But he paid his taxes. Okay. Jesus Christ felt alone on the cross. Loneliness. He felt alone. There are sometimes you're going through things and you feel like nobody understands you. Like what I'm going through, I can't even explain it to anyone. Now let me tell you something. There are things Jesus Christ tells his disciples that I have more to tell you. But you're so sorrowful. I cannot tell you. This was just before his crucifixion. Why did he say that? Because partly, I think, because he felt they could not even understand him. Jesus Christ many times felt misunderstood. He felt even ununderstood. And he would say, but don't you understand? He would even ask, for how long will I be with you? Well, don't you understand this? Hallelujah. So you feel misunderstood, you feel rejected. Jesus Christ was mocked. Yeah? I'm like, the other day I was watching something and someone was saying that if Jesus Christ lived in that day, in our day today, how would people mock him? And they put different ways. But one of the ways that caught my attention was social media. Man, they first sent barrages. First of all, you're a child of for you, you're a child of what? You said the angel came for what? Like Jesus Christ was mocked. Even his birth, by the way. At that time in Israel, even to death, by the way, people don't believe in the virgin birth. There are some Jews that don't believe in the virgin birth. They're like, how? This person you say is a Messiah, like how? How does that even happen? Yeah? So you're there, you're thinking, oh, for me, the sina tata, sina mama. Oh, what? Even, but they call you what? Jesus Christ went through all those things and even much more. Hallelujah. So we have hope. We have hope. Glory to God. In that same verse, it says, by his stripes, of course, we were healed. I can't live without talking about the divine healing or the healing that Jesus Christ purchased for us on the cross. Every one of us here has fallen sick. I remember the very first time I interfaced with a miracle. It was in Entebbe. And Robert Kayanja had come to preach. Those days he was a small, lanky man. Like he was really, really small. He was, I think, fasting and what. And the guy preached a sermon. And you guys, I saw people who had polio. Yeah, the lame walk. I was like, what? So from that time, I was really, really intrigued about the ministry because I was a young girl. I didn't know what I know now. So I was really intrigued about the ministry of miracles, signs and wonders, these things of healing. And I have seen that even in my life, you get to a point where that I think two months ago, I had an issue with my back that wasn't going. I was moving around with a hot water bottle, my back was paining, I'd taken painkillers, they were not going. You guys, I remembered, I'm like, but you know what? Let me just call on the name of Jesus. And that day we had Holy Communion. I told the children to pray for me. Manzi prayed. And that was the last time I felt the pain. Divine healing. Glory to God. Divine healing. So each one of us, I know here we have cried out to God in one way or the other about a health issue, either for yourself or for a loved one. So we have all seen miracles happen of healing. Few have seen raising from the dead. How many of us have seen? Me, I've never, anyone, Dr. Balo, doctor, when you were there in the hospital cutting, did anyone rise from the dead? Dennis. Oh, yes, Dennis talked about a mother. Yeah, please come and share that testimony.
I was working in Chitagata Hospital at around 7 p.m., I was called by the nurses that there's a mother who had come in with obstructed labor. Obstructed labor, in short, difficulty in giving birth naturally. So I rushed down from my house, went to, you know, the receiving where the mothers arrived to the hospital from, and found this mother had, this was her fourth pregnancy. But all the other three, they were always big babies, very heavy babies. I think like Rachel's boy there. Yeah, but this baby felt very big. But the mother looked very healthy. So I talked with her and told her, you know, the only thing we can do to save your life and the baby, especially the babies, is to go to theater. So we wheeled her to theater. Checked her blood, she was not anemic, everything was okay, she was a healthy mother. So I operated, got out the baby, and started closing the uterus, stitching it up. Now, before that, when, after I had pulled out the baby, and I was cleaning the uterus before starting to close, the anaesthetist is someone who helps doctors put the patients to sleep in theater. He told me, and he was called Besigye, he said, "Doctor, omrwire wawe tarukwisya," meaning your patient is not breathing. Now, because I was still inside in the abdomen, I put my hand on, if you remember your biology, there's a very heavy, big blood vessel called the aorta. I put my hand there and it was flat. There was no blood pumping. And it's a very powerful vessel. For you who are thin and you're lying on bed flat, you can actually see your tummy moving vertical like this. It's because of the pressure of that blood vessel. So anyway, she was dead. So I just said, "Lord, you know this woman has to look after her baby." So I continued closing the uterus. After I had started closing the abdominal muscles, I had a very big sigh from the lady, like, this was after like 20 minutes, after she had gone kaput. So I told the people in theater, "Please don't tell any patient around," because at that time, mothers used to fear delivering from hospitals and especially theater, that they'll die. And this labor suit was, this theater was very next to labor suit. So we wheeled the mother to the recovery ward. We go to sleep. In the morning, I come for the early morning rounds. Then as soon as I walked in, these wards are, you know, like dormitories, those of you who are boarding students, very open. The lady just was seated up in bed. She just said, "Amawe mrebo gomshaho, webare, 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 webare." Everyone got startled because they hadn't had anything. She was saying, "Look at this doctor, thank you very much." Then she said, for those who don't understand the local language, she said, "Bakababa antwire kwonkana abganum shija chitami ahachitebe yabajangu mugare yogo mukazi aine kurebera umwana we." What it means is, this lady says they were taking her. Then she was taken before a man seated on a very majestic seat, what we call a throne. And this man told these people who were taking her that, take this lady back. She has to look after her baby. The very words which I said when I prayed. And to me, and I think this is the whole thing about prayer, is not really when you only come in this room, but the words you speak in wherever you are in your vehicle, etc. It's a form of prayer. So the lady came back, and on the fourth day, we discharged her. She went along the way from the hospital in town. She went talking about the doctor who brought her.
Hallelujah. I had to call Dennis to say that I did that intentionally, because when you talk about people coming back from the dead, sometimes our children have not even experienced that. They haven't seen it. They don't know. They just see it in movies. But even the adults. Hallelujah, Teddy. So I had to call Dennis to actually, because he has had that experience. And I have not had it, like I said, yeah. I've seen it on TV, read about it in books, seen like healing evangelists or people praying and they come back to life, but never had something quite this close. Glory to God. So because of that, we have life, we have health. He prayed and she was bounced from heaven. But man, she had gone. That mother was going to be in heaven. Yeah, she was going to be in heaven. Glory to God. But she's bounced because someone prayed and she's given another chance. Glory to God. So in closing, I just want to emphasize to us that, remember last Sunday we talked about giving a sacrifice to God. And after you have heard what I shared today, whatever sacrifice you want to give, know that it will never match God. It will never match what God has done for you in your life. So when you start from there, giving sadaka, or kuwa sadaka, becomes easier. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So during this time, as we celebrate, I know that many times this sermon is preached at the time of Easter, yeah, the resurrection. But for me, I believe that this, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, started the day God came down as man. It was done. It was finished. The day God came down as man, it was done. It set the ball rolling. So as we go into celebrating Christmas, think about the sacrifices that we are going to give. Have it. Let the sacrifice of Jesus Christ put your sacrifice in perspective. Hallelujah. Think about what he did for you. How you have been blessed exceedingly, abundantly. Remember I said there were over 70 things that I felt we received, but I had to break them down to 3. Yeah? And think about all those things that you have received. And look at the sacrifice you want to give God. And I pray that it shall be commensurate. Glory to God. I pray that it will be commensurate. Hallelujah. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.